The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Have you ever heard the saying that you can't pour tea from an empty cup, so you have to take care of yourself? Or have you ever heard that, you know, we all hear the, you know, you've got to look out for number one, right? You've got to look out for number one. If we study our generations and our culture, what we see, we find out is that the baby boomers, I'm not meaning to insult the baby boomers who are here, but the baby boomers were known somewhat as a me generation. It was about them. That's okay. That's what we created after when these things happened, when society went down the road, it went down. We created a me generation. Some, but not all of that generation were more self-centered and self-absorbed. But it's very apparent in the advertising of that time, because it was bombarding the culture. Society was becoming a very visual culture at that time, during the time of the baby boomers when they were coming of age. Technology was quickly advancing. And the baby boomers were taught to put their own interests first. And companies and advertising agencies took advantage of this. So let me see if you know the products associated with these slogans. And they're not going to show it until you figure out what these are. And I'm sure you'll get most of them. You deserve a break today. Where's that come from? McDonald's, that's right. Have it your way. Burger King. Because I'm worth it. Ooh, that's a tough one. Anybody know what it is? And guys, I can understand where you may not know what it is, but you've watched plenty of television. You've probably seen these commercials. Because I'm worth it. L'Oreal. And of course, be all that you can be in the Army. Ben's going to the Air Force, so he wants the good life. See, these slogans, these messages were all telling us, do what is best for you. Because you're number one. You have to take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to look out for you. You've got to take care of yourself. Buy these products, because these products are for you. And you get to choose what you want. Anybody, Ed and I were talking this morning. Anybody remember the Burger King's song? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. I mean, isn't that sad? We want it our way. We want things to be the way we want it. Right? And society told us it was good. That's good. That's good for you because you're number one. Self-involved attitudes carried over to the next generation, my generation, the Generation Xers. It does. It carries from one generation to the other. And while I do not have a full time to account all of the things that it did to the generations, to each generation after that, let's just say the me attitude of the baby boomers has not gone away. It has not gone away. We see it in the millennials. Some, but not all. It's still there. And I think the reason why it's still there is because it's a human trait. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Did God say you should not eat of any tree of the garden? Well, no, not just this one, because if we did, we'll surely die. Oh, you'll not die. You'll be like God. You will be like God. It's all about you. Have it your way. Not God's way. Have it your way. It's also creeped into the church. Some people will tell you, well, God doesn't want you to be unhappy. God doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to be rich. And if you're not rich, God's not blessing you. And there's a reason why God's not blessing you, because you haven't sent me $14.95 a month. It's creeped into the church because we're told God wants you to be happy. And I'll be honest with you, God does want you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy in the right things. There are times in people's lives where I've heard stories of people come into the pastor and saying, you know, I think God's telling me that I need to divorce my wife and marry this other woman because he wants me to be happy. You know, my first thought, I wouldn't say this, but my first thought with that is, you know, you might be right because he wants your other wife, your first wife, to be happy. So maybe he does want you to leave. See, the problem is, it's all about me and what I want. Are your kids driving you nuts? That's okay. You got a career. Don't worry about them. Let somebody else take care of them. Kids will still drive you nuts, by the way, no matter who takes care of them, because they're kids and that's what they do. Actually, it's the curse. One day when you were growing up, your mother said, I hope you have a child just like you. And it happens. Well. Or even worse, in my generation, it was let the kids fend for themselves. And then you have a lot of latchkey kids who had no parents at home at all. And it still happens today. It's sad. Because, you know, you need to focus on you. Focus on your career first. That me first attitude, it's alive and well in the world today. And it's in the church. Worship has gone from being God-centered to being me-centered. Just let me sit in the pews, entertain me, give me some lights, give me some smoke. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with the songs. It's not the songs. If you listen to the songs are deep theological songs for the most part. There are some that are kind of flaky, but there are some hymns that are a little flaky. But they talk about truths of Scripture. But that's not the problem. The problem is the attitude of the people doing it. I want to be entertained. It's all about me. I've told you before, this church is not for you. This church is to get you out there to those people who aren't in here. It's for the people who are hurting. People hop from church to church and they need to find the one that meets their needs. I want to go to a church that makes me feel good. Sorry, it's not about you feeling good. It's about you growing and becoming a disciple and going and making disciples. That's what it's about. The church is full of people with a consumer mentality. And I don't mean this church. I mean church in general. There may be some in here who are more, give me what I need. I don't think so, but it may be. But the church, the Western church, is full of it. And people sit on the outside and think, why would I want to go do that? I can do that from my couch at home. If you don't like the product that your church is offering, there's another one down the street, right? That might be giving you the product you want to have. Now, I want you to understand, there are valid reasons for leaving a church. Very valid reasons. If that church is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that church is not loving people, not teaching you to love people, if it's not teaching you to obey everything Jesus taught, you need to leave that church. No doubt about it. But you don't leave just because, well, they played those hymns again today. Oh, and there's people who will say, I don't go to church. I know a guy who told me I don't go to church because I don't want nothing old. I don't want those hymns. I'm just sitting here thinking, really? Yeah, there are some hymns I don't like either. Because I know I've read the theology of the hymn and it's wrong. But that's okay. I know there are people that it touches. And so, you know, we don't eliminate hymns. In fact, the last song we're doing today is a hymn. We're doing the last song we're going to do next week's a hymn. I mean, I don't pick songs because it's a hymn or it's a contemporary song. I pick songs, or actually, I gotta, I'll be honest with you, I don't pick the songs anymore. Brittany picks the songs based upon what the songs say and how it fits my sermon. I give her my sermon and she picks them. I want the message to be there. There was a South African pastor. His name was Andrew Murray. Here's what he says. He says, we have within us a self that is, it's poisoned from Satan. You and I have inside of us something that is poisoned from the devil himself, from hell. And yet we cherish and we nourish it. What do we not do to please ourself and nourish ourself? Yeah, give me my cell phone. I don't have my cell phone. I'm good. Take my cell phone. I need to check my Facebook page. I hear stories about families sitting at the dinner table in a restaurant, and they all have their cell phones out, parents included. And guess what? They're texting each other.
No, I talk about him.
Oh, you talk about him on Facebook. Yeah, that's what it is. Right across from him. Look at your own, this is what he says. He says, look at your own life. What are the works of hell? Are they chiefly these: self-will, self-trust, and self-exaltation. Those are the works of hell, according to Andrew Murray. Self-will, self-trust. I don't trust myself. The heart is evil. It will lie to you. Well, I feel this way. I don't care how you feel. I don't. When it comes to the Bible, it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what is truth. I was watching, I'm going to go way over today, so, you know, we'll just have to deal with it. But, so yeah, if you only come to church if it only has a certain time, you know, and you have to leave church. But I was watching a video last night about Mormonism. For some reason, I just felt like I wanted to watch one. And one of the things the guy said, he came out of Mormonism. He says, the one thing about Mormons, what Mormons will tell you is, when they get a revelation from God, what determines whether it is true or false, whether it's from God or from Satan or from themselves, is whether or not they feel good about it. God only gives you things that make you feel good. If you feel bad about it, it's from the devil or it's from yourself. That's how they determine if a prophecy is correct. Guess what? Bible says nothing about it being about your feeling. In fact, it says the heart is evil. Your heart will deceive you. What determines whether or not prophecy is true is whether or not it happens. Whether or not it occurs. That's what the Bible says. It's not about how you feel. Self-trust, self-will, self-exaltation are from Satan himself. See, as we strive to be a church that God desires us to be, we have to understand, we have to ask ourselves, is our goal to glorify God in everything, or is our goal to make ourselves happy? Is that our goal as a church? Am I here? Do I stand up here and do we get together so that everybody in the church is happy? Or is our goal to glorify God? Our goal is to glorify God. He tells us to love Him with everything we have and love others as ourselves. That brings glory to God. If I love myself, I don't love God with everything and I don't love others. So as we continue in our series, we're going to return to Matthew 22, 34 through 40, but with a caution. We need to make sure that we don't inadvertently or unintentionally twist Scripture to fit our own desires. So let's go to Matthew 22, 34 through 40. This is what it says. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, he had already put the Sadducees in their place, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, remember a lawyer, this is not a lawyer who argues in court, this is a lawyer who studies the law. It knows the law inside and out. Most attorneys today do not know the law. Do you understand that? The paralegals do. The attorneys do not. And he said to them, or as a teacher, he says, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. See, the problem is people will take verse 39 where it says, and second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And they promote an idea of self-focus. Well, then that means I need to love myself. Because if I'm supposed to love you like I love me, I'm supposed to love you greatly, then I better love myself a lot, right? The problem is when I do that, I run the risk of loving myself more than I love you. We need to make sure we understand what self-love is and what it is not. Before we can love others as we love ourselves, we need to understand what it means to love yourself. So in the weeks to come, we're going to examine what it means to be a neighbor. You know, how do we love our neighbors? We're going to kind of lay this idea of it. But today we got to lay this foundation of what it means for me to love me so that I can love others. In Matthew 22:39, does it say, look at your Bibles, does it say, you shall love your neighbor and you shall love yourself? No, of course not. It doesn't say that. What does it say? It says just you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus commands us to love our neighbors because we automatically love ourselves. No, nobody hates them. Well, they may hate themselves, but they've got issues and they need help. You do. You don't hate yourself. I know you don't hate yourself. We may not like, you know, I don't always like what this looks like, but I do love myself and I try to take care of myself. There's a level of love that I have for myself. I'm not going to run out here in the middle of Highway 1 and throw myself in the middle of the road. Right? I shouldn't put myself in danger because I'm not good at climbing ladders anymore and I get up on ladders now. So I kind of put myself in a little bit of danger, that little bit of risk, or I'll step up on something and I know my balance isn't good anymore and I almost fall off, or I've got a nice little scrape in my knee. You know, I put myself in a little bit of danger, but I love myself automatically. We're born in life with this self-centered, self-interest kind of idea. When a baby gets hungry, what does a baby do? Cries, right? When he gets tired, you know, and the baby cries, you know they're either hungry, they're tired, or they need changed. And how do they do it? They, wah, right? Everybody go, wah, wah. Okay, bunch of babies. That's what they do. They are normally, when they're born, they know they're hungry, they know they need changed, they know they're tired. They automatically want someone to take care of them. They can't take care of themselves yet. Now, but let me ask you this. As an adult, let's say I'm hungry. Let's say I'm tired and I need change. If I stand here as a 52-year-old man and go, way! What a fool, right? But don't we do that? Way! I didn't get all I want. We don't do it on the outside. But on the inside, well, bleh. I didn't get what I want today. We act like a child. And it's natural to do that. God designed us to get hungry, to get thirsty, to get lonely, to get tired. And if you love yourself, we're going to eat. If I get hungry, I'm going to eat. Taco Bell, right, Adam? No? Okay. If I get hungry, we eat. If I get tired, I lay down and I love this. I lay down and I take a nap. I love naps now. I used to hate naps. I love them now. I used to hate gardening. I hated gardening, by the way. Love it now. But I hate naps, but I love them now because I get tired. I want to lay down. If I'm lonely, what do? I find someone to be with. I want to meet my needs. We all meet our own needs. We do that. It's natural. What Jesus is commanding us to love each other, we need to love each other as naturally as we love ourselves. So think about this. If Kim is hungry, and I know it, if it was me, what would I do? I would feed myself. So what do I need to do for him? I need to feed him. As naturally as you take care of yourself, you are to take care of other people. That's what Jesus is saying. Because it's natural to love yourself, you should naturally love others. Author Tim Stanford has a great way of putting it in his book, Knowing the Face of God. Here's what he says. Self-love is so ordinary that Jesus used it as a reference point. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When I was in elementary school, the teacher sometimes solved the first problem on a sheet of homework to show us how others were solved. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, okay, here's how you work out this problem. You love yourself. That's how you do it. That's the score. Now do it the rest of the way with everybody else. Love them too. Love your neighbor the same way. The same standard I have for me, I need to have in my love for others. Would I ever be mean to somebody, myself? Would I be mean to myself? Not normally. So why would I be mean to somebody else? Do I like somebody being gruff with me? This is tough for me because I get moody. I'll be honest with you. I come home in the afternoon, I'm tired, I want to take a nap, and I get moody. Right? We get moody. All of us do. Do I like it when somebody gets moody with me? Well, no. So what makes me think I can get moody with somebody else? That's not loving them the way I want to be. I love myself. Ephesians says no one ever hated their own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. We don't hate ourselves. We feed and care for ourselves. We're not moody. I don't look at myself in the mirror and say, what's your problem, right? I may look at my mirror and say, man, what is your deal today? Jesus knows that we love ourselves, and he commands us to love others the same way. How many of you have gone to a seminar on loving yourself? Well, aren't they big? I mean, doesn't everybody go to a seminar on loving themselves? Well, no. You don't have to. Because it's natural. It's a natural thing to do. Now, that being said, there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. I want to understand this. You know, you need to take care of yourself. It's normal. It's not evil to take a drink when you're thirsty. It's not evil to eat food when you're hungry. It's not evil to take a nap when you're tired. Well, if you're supposed to be doing something else, it might be. We can seek shelter. We can protect ourselves from danger when it needs to be. But that's the standard that God is saying, Jesus is saying, that's the standard for everybody else too. How you're supposed to love everybody else. So if you know somebody is in need, you need to do these things because you do it for yourself. Someone needs shelter, you need to give them shelter. Someone needs food, you need to give them food. So we have the food pantry. But it doesn't stop there. I don't pawn it off on them. That means if I see someone who actually needs food and can't get food themselves, I need to take care of it. But see, the problem comes in, the evil comes in when we are so self-consumed with ourselves that I love myself above and beyond loving anybody else. And I fail to love God and I fail to love others. Self-love takes care of its own basic needs and it's not evil, but when it becomes a self-absorbed love, it is. And that's what Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were like, they're all self-absorbed. They love to be in the marketplace. It says they love to have the special seats, you know. The seats would have been these seats right here. Those were the seats of honor. None of you are honored, by the way, because you're not sitting up front. They were in the synagogue. That was a seat of honor. And you had to be special to be there. You had to be paid to be there, actually. Okay. But to want that for yourself and not honor somebody else, that's evil. That's wrong. So we can see in Scripture that we are to be God-centered and others-centered. As a church, we need to be God-centered. We need to come in here. We need to focus on God. We need to look at His Word. We need to sing songs about Him and sing songs of praise to Him. We need to be centered on Him. And when we go out there, we need to be other-centered. This church needs to be other-centered. We need to be outside these four walls, focusing on the people out there and our neighbors and our friends, our community. As individuals, I need to be focused on God all day and also focused on my neighbors. Paul says in Philippians 2, 3 through 4, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing I do should be because that's what I want to do. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what I want. But it should be done in humility. You need to count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests. So Paul's saying, look into your own interests, but also look to the interest of others. It's not easy. It's not easy because, I'm sorry, people sometimes are downright rude and difficult to love. They're hard to love. But see, God doesn't say, okay, love your neighbors who are nice like you love yourself. Yeah. Love your neighbor who's not rude like you love yourself. No, He wants you to love that neighbor who's the downright dirtiest, nastiest kind of neighbor you could have. That person who works in your office who does not like you, you don't like them, and anytime they even walk close to you, your skin crawls. Guess what? You need to love them. God doesn't put any condition on your love for them. Paul gives this challenge in Romans. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Can you imagine what the church would be like if all we did was love each other with brotherly affection and tried to outdo each other in honor? Sorry, folks, we fall short. We're trying. My goal is we get there. But we always fall short because we struggle. We're human. Because the beauty of it is if the church would do it, I'll be honest with you. If we were showing honor to each other, more honor than we show ourselves, we were trying to outdo each other, you would probably go home and try to do the same things. Husbands and wives, you'd be trying to outdo each other. Children would be trying to outdo their parents. And then you'd all of a sudden find yourself trying to outdo your neighbor in honor. And then you find that you're at work and you try to outdo your coworkers in honor. And you're at the grocery store and you try to outdo people that are trying to honor you. You're outdoing them. It would happen. It needs to happen. We need to show honor. We need to outdo each other in honor. Who wouldn't want to be part of a church like that? I think many of us hope that's what the church would be. We want the church to be that way. And really, I'm not criticizing this church or any church saying the church is terrible. The church is on that road, but I think we've got, as a church in general, we have a long way to go. I think it'd be great. I like to see churches outdo each other in honoring each other. I thought about this. I actually thought about doing this. The Baptist Church just bought their new building. It was having their opening day. I almost talked to the elders about canceling church and all of us going down there and being at that church and showing them honor. Should have done it now. I wish I had. I know Matt. I know the pastor. We need to show them honor. They are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as long as you all come back the next Sunday, I'd be okay with it. Actually, no. If you were down there and God said, I want you here, then I'd say God wants you there. In Romans, Paul also says in chapter 15, verse 2 and 3, he reminds us that love is about building up. He says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. Jesus didn't come here to make himself happy. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Jesus is saying, those that persecuted you, those that were mean to you, that fell on him. Jesus set the example we're supposed to live by. He was tired. He had spent all day with the crowd, and he tries to go off and pray someplace by himself. And what happens? The crowd is there. In an instant, he cannot get away. Numerous times we see Jesus trying to get away, and he can't. He set the example for us to live by. He didn't live his life to please himself. He lived his life to please his Father. And his Father loved us, and he wanted Jesus to please those around him. That's why he would heal people. You think, why would he heal people? He healed this guy, and he told them, go to the priest, pay what you're supposed to pay according to Jewish law, and then don't tell anybody. What does that guy do? Goes to the priest, and then he goes and tells everybody. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm done with it. I'm not healing anybody anymore. He continued to heal people. He had compassion on people. We must follow his example. We need to live our lives that puts God first and puts others before ourselves. See, the problem is we get trapped in our lives of living a self-centered life. It's about me. I need to work for my retirement. I need to make sure that I'm taken care of. I need to make sure my family's taken care of. I need that new iPhone. I need a new iPad. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing evil about iPads and iPhones. There's nothing evil about technology. But it can be an idol. We get caught up in this trap of living our lives to please ourselves, and our society looks at us and says, oh, look at you, you're a success. Sometimes even the church looks at you and says, oh, look at you, you're a success, you have everything. In reality, in God's kingdom, you're bankrupt. We're to be pitied. Look at the rich young man who came up to Jesus. He had everything. And Jesus says, have you followed all the commandments? He says, I've done them all. He says, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the man walked away sad because he had a lot. He didn't love others as he loved himself. He loved himself. That was the problem. I believe he loved God. He had kept all the commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He loved God. I just don't think he loved others. He loved himself more. We are to be pitied because of our selfish and self-centered approach to life at times. We wonder why the world doesn't want anything to do with Christianity. It's because we as a church, and I'm talking the big church here, we as a Western church have fallen for the idea that the bigger you are, the more successful you are, and the more self-centered you become, the more successful you are. It's about our church, right? It's about my church, this church. I need to get as many people in these pews. Believe me, I want this place overflowing. But I don't want it overflowing just because we have an awesome worship band and I tell you things that tickle your ears and make you feel good. I want this church overflowing because the people in this church love each other. And it shows. Shows here and shows out there. Jesus said in John 3:13-35, it says, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. People don't know you're a Christian. Why? Because you don't love. So it says. They'll know you're my disciples because you love one another. If you don't love a believer, if you don't love your fellow believers, they'll know. And later on, John says, in 1 John, he says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Ooh. Do you realize what John is saying there? John is saying that, you know, if you don't practice righteousness, you are not of God. You are of Satan. If you don't love your brother, you're not of God. You're of Satan. That's the standard. That's what he says. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. And he says you're either of God or children of God or child of the devil. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Don't get trapped in this me mentality. Do not love yourself too much to the exclusion of God and others. See, what we need to do is we need to keep ourselves in check. John says in 1 John, no one has ever seen God. We have never seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. See, you and I cannot love the way we're supposed to without the love of God being in us. We need that. So in loving each other, God perfects his love in us. And when our love for God is right, then our love for ourselves is right. And our love for others is right. So where's your love today? I mean, have you realized that maybe you love yourself a little bit too much and don't love others enough? See, if that's the case, then you need to look at your love for God. Is your love for God what it needs to be? If you truly love God, you should also love your neighbor. And it'll take care of itself. If we love God, it'll flow naturally through us. Don't be like the self-centered man who overheard his wife at a party saying, well, yeah, my husband and I have managed to be happily together for 20 years. I guess the reason why is because we love the same man. You get that? He's a self-centered man. He loves himself more than he loves his wife, but his wife loves him dearly. Too much love for self is natural. We want to do that. It happens. So that's why the love we have for God and the love we have for ourselves and for others needs to be supernatural. It needs to be supernatural. We are called to a higher standard of love. And the only way we get there is with God and through Jesus Christ. And I want to be honest with you. If we love God with everything we have, and if we love ourselves the way we're supposed to, and if we love others, we will find true joy in our lives. That'll bring us more joy than anything else. More joy than self-love. Much more joy than self-love. We have to keep our self-love in check. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after me, what must he do? He has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What Jesus says is, Yeah, you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of others, but you will ultimately have to deny yourself to take care of others and to follow him. We are to be people of love. But we need to be people who love God with everything we have and people who automatically love others as we love ourselves. It's not optional. It's a requirement. It's a command. That's what we need to do. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we naturally want to love ourselves. We naturally want to take care of ourselves. But Lord, sometimes that self-love gets misdirected. And we need to refocus it. Because sometimes we love ourselves more than we love you. And we put ourselves before you. And even many more times we put ourselves before anybody else. Father, help us to be self-sacrificial in our love. Help us to love others in a way that honors you and brings you glory. Lord, have your way in us. Help us, Father. Help us to be your people. Help the world to see that we are your disciples. Why? Because of the love we have for each other. For your glory and praise, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.